141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Neil Lennon has Hamilton on his mind as the domestic football returns. Stephen Gerrard hails Joe Aribo as he considers a second debut for Ryan Kent. And Hearts and Hibs are amongst those needing a win as we welcome back league football. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
Well, after two international matches, it's back to the kind of game where both teams get a kick of the ball. In the international arena, we've declined alarmingly and left the public disillusioned, but we can't forget that on a domestic level, we're about to pick up again on the most thrilling title competition in the history of Scottish football. And no one, but no one, is leaving this one early. The flower of Scotland needs watering, but the Premiership is in full bloom. From Hamilton to Govan, from high noon to close of play 5 hours later, 300 minutes and as many talking points.
Hamilton against Celtic, Rangers against Livingston, massive games all across the Premiership, and Brechin City against Cove Rangers as well, Mark Wilson.
That is the big one, Gordon. No one's looking at Celtic, no one's looking at Rangers. It's eyes on Glebe Park tomorrow for me and the rest of the thousands.
Mark Wilson versus Paul Hartley.
Exactly
as well.
Yeah, reunite old friendship. Yeah, but listen, Hugh's right. I mean, I hate the international break, purely because it's full of controversy in the lead up to it. Who's been pulled out the squad, who's not turned up, or who's getting sent home to their clubs injured, followed by generally bad results on our part. So the only thing I really look forward to is now when the real domestic football starts back again, and what a fixer card we've got for it tomorrow.
Yeah, they can be great if you win, but we've not had that feeling in quite some time. But Hugh, we are truly back with a bang.
Yeah.
Big games tomorrow, questions all over the place about who plays, which new signings make their debuts, who picks up where they left off, who bounces back from where they needed to bounce back from before the break, and different managers needing a win.
The Celtic fans have enjoyed 2 weeks of celebration since winning at Ibrox. Rangers have to get back on track against Livingston with Ryan Kent coming back at £7 million. For Craig Levine and for Paul Heckenbottom at Hearts and Hibs respectively, they cannot afford to drop anything. Nothing at all, or fans will be on their case. And for St Mirren, long old trip to Dingwall. Brechin sounds round the corner compared to that one. And they, in the form of Jim Goodwin, need a result as well.
0141 951 1025, that's the number you need to get in touch tonight. And if you would rather tweet, then you can find us at Clyde SSB. So come on, you've been waiting all week, all last week as well. The domestic football is back. Give us your thoughts, give us your predictions, give us your team lineup suggestions. The transfer window is closed, so which players would you like to see make a debut for your team tomorrow? Tell us, 0141 951 1025. Let's kick off by hearing from Neil Lennon. He says he has no issue with the way his players train while on Scotland duty. This comes after Stephen Gerrard branded the Scottish FA careless after Ryan Jack suffered a knee injury doing 11k just 2 days after the Old Firm game. But Lennon says injuries can happen anytime.
Well, they've come back no problem, you know, no injuries. They had the game, you know, and then they were straight to the hotel, maybe a recovery day, and then into the training. So maybe, you know, Stephen has an issue with that because of Ryan's, you know, injury, but thankfully we're injury free from that. Like, it's part and parcel of, you know, being an international player. They can get injured here, they can get injured in training, they can get injured playing for us, or they can get injured in training or for the national team playing. And yeah, of course, during an international break, you're always on the phone, you know, waiting for your physio to call you with hopefully good news rather than bad.
Speaking of injuries, Nir Beaton will be out for a few weeks with a hamstring injury suffered in that one at Rangers. Jozo Simunovic is away to see a knee specialist. Christopher Ayer should be back after missing the win at Ibrox before the break. Wren coming up soon. Lennon says he could rotate the squad against Hamilton tomorrow.
You know, this month's very much going to be similar to the last month where we did, you know, change it. Sometimes through necessity, you know, whether we rotate it for freshness or, you know, we may pick up an injury here or there. What I've got now is strength and depth in a number of positions. And also some of the boys, the long-term boys who have been out, Tom Rodgick, he's fit now as well. So
you know, that's a welcome boost to the squad as well, a player of that quality.
That game kicks off at noon tomorrow, so Celtic fans, it's your last chance really to have your say on who should play the game. Give us a call right now, 01419511025. Should any of the new signings go straight in and make their debut, you tell us. Maybe Greg Taylor, maybe El Yunusi. Who would you like to see? How would you like to see the team line up? This is your last chance to tell us before tomorrow, 01419511025.
I think the gap between Celtic and Hamilton actually should be as great as the gap which existed between Scotland and Belgium. And Celtic have a first team squad that is 30 plus strong. So rotate by all means, give players a debut like El Yunusi by all means, but whatever happens, Celtic should and will be, I think, too strong for Hamilton.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I think Celtic are in such a good place just now after their victory at Ibrox. Looking at it, what Neil Lennon says here about strength and depth, I seen a picture in a newspaper the other day of the squad and the options he has now at his disposal. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were on this show saying how weak certain areas looked for Celtic. Having looked at every position, he's got at least two options for every position. So although he's got injuries, he's added real quality to his squad in positions that we were debating over. You know, that he could be struggling if he didn't fill them quickly. Albeit it came at the end of the transfer window, but he got the names over the line, and it looks a very strong squad. So if he rotates that tomorrow, Celtic will have too much quality for Hamilton.
So Celtic fans, a debut for Greg Taylor maybe, a debut for El Yunusi. Who else? You tell us right now, 01419511025. Either of those names would you expect to go straight in from the beginning, Hugh Keevans?
I'm not sure about plastic pitches, you know. I don't know what experience El Yunusi has had on surfaces like that.
I think he came from Molde, who had one, I think. So, granted, they're all differently, so they're all different. But
I think tomorrow, Gordon, Celtic have to conquer the contrast. Ibrox, 50,000 people. Hamilton Accies ground, less than 10,000 people. Ibrox, bowling green of a pitch. Hamilton Accies, concrete flooring. So I think they have
concrete flooring.
Yeah, I mean, the Accies fans are going to be burning these phone lines to take issue with
them. I don't think they should have these pitches. We'll get three of them in our major league, and I think that's terrible.
But Celtic, you have got no excuses tomorrow. They've been there before. They've done it before.
Numerous
last season they were exceptional there. You know, they started really quickly last year with a beautiful set piece, and they continued from there and battered Hamilton. So they've got no excuses. I don't see any problems for them tomorrow.
But I think managers do tailor their thinking, Mark, when they ask players how they feel about playing on these surfaces. And it may be that one or two, you know, like Jozo Siminovic, I know he's not available to Celtic right now because of injury, but he simply couldn't play on them. So he had to, no matter how well he was playing, he had to leave him out.
Well, it won't be an issue for El Yunusi or Greg Taylor. They both played for clubs who have them. So let's shelve that for the meantime, Mark. In a footballing sense, do you expect either of them to start the game, both of them to start the game?
I think El Yunusi has a better chance. Mikey Johnson, am I right in saying he's out? So, I mean, that frees up that position. I think the Celtic fans would like to see him. When you've got a guy who was bought for 16 million quid not that long ago, you know, you've got him on loan, you expect him to come into the fold sometime. Now, if I was Mikey Johnson and I was fit and I was left out, I'd be disappointed, because I think he deserves that place in the team just now. However, the opportunities came probably quicker for El Yunusi through that injury, so he will be thrown in. The thing with Taylor is that Ballingolly had his best game for Celtic at Ibrox, so I don't think you can afford to drop him. If you drop him, then I think you take his confidence back a step. You know, Taylor, look, happened to myself, I had to wait my time to play for Celtic. I understood that when I signed. I was lucky it came up in the next couple of weeks through injury. Greg Taylor may just have to do the same if Ballingolly keeps playing well.
Celtic fans, Accies fans, can you cause an upset? Listen to Hugh Keevans, he thinks Celtic will have it all their own way. What do you think, Celtic fans? What about that team? Who should play? What should we be considering before the game? Tell us right now, 01419511025. The previous game, Hugh, and you go back to, it feels like a lifetime ago now because of the international break, but obviously it was the big one, it was at Ibrox. You mentioned that it could potentially be a coming of age day for Christopher Julian, for Bolly Ballingolly, and I'm sure you will be willing to admit that on the flip side, it could have been a one-off, and they then now therefore have to show that that's their level that they can stick to continuously.
Yeah, I mean, you can only judge a player, I think, at the very highest level, and that in domestic terms, Celtic playing Rangers at Ibrox is as big as it gets. And if you come through that with flying colours, dominate the opposition, win the match with ease, then thereafter you really ought to be in a good place.
Listen, I heard Daz saying that the first Old Firm game for him was the easiest to play in. Look, I have to disagree with that. I found it incredibly difficult, and I felt the pressure on my shoulders going to Ibrox. I think these guys, Julian and Bolingoli, had extra pressure on their shoulders because of their previous performances, and they showed up good. You would think that that's a big turning point in their Celtic careers. I know they hadn't been there long, but there was a lot of people in their backs early doors, and I think last Sunday or two Sundays ago, that changed a lot of people's minds. But you're right, Gordon, it's up to them to sustain that level of performance. That's what the Celtic fans expect to see week in, week out, and it starts tomorrow at Hamilton, I guess.
Yeah, because you mentioned it earlier, Hugh, as well. Such a just a different challenge in every single way. So that's the challenge about being a Celtic or a Rangers player, is you come into certain environments that you are massive favourites, and you might have to be concentrating for that one moment where the other team come at you. And in other games, it's the raucous atmosphere that you saw at Ibrox. So it's different.
I said at the start of the season, before a ball was kicked, for Celtic and Rangers, a draw is a disaster, a defeat is a catastrophe this season. Now, Neil Lennon's made the point, there's no point in winning at Ibrox and then dropping something at Hamilton. So that's the pressure the Celtic players simply have to live with. They're getting well paid, they are strong in terms of depth, and no matter who plays, they have to be better than Hamilton.
Right, remember, there are a couple of ways for you to get in touch with the show tonight. As always, it's the same number, but if you've never dialed it before, it's 01419511025. And if you are online and you would rather tweet, then you can do so at Clyde SSB. We just had a caller disappear there. Let's see if we can get that one back. But like I say, Twitter is at Clyde SSB, and on the phones, the usual number. Hugh Keevans and Mark Wilson here, looking ahead to a big weekend. Aman is a Celtic fan, first up in Govan Hill. Hi, Aman.
Hello, how you doing? I know I've only got a wee bit of time.
No, you've got plenty of time, on you go.
You sure? Right, okay, thank you. But my point is, I want to ask Mark. I mean, I've heard a rumour that they was kneeling in for Edward, and in January they might be putting a bid in for him. I mean, how much money does Celtic need before they stop selling their top players?
Listen, I don't think Edward will be gone this season. I think he's one that Celtic, or well, so I've heard, that Celtic want to keep a hold of as long as possible. So I don't think in January. I mean,
on the flip side though, how big a battle are they going to have? Because he seems to be getting better all the time.
Yeah, see, when you're scoring in the big games, you're scoring in the European scene, and then you're doing it at international level. Okay, it's at under 21 level, but still at a very, very good level. People start sitting up and taking notice. The big boys sit up and take notice of that when you're doing it on all fronts, not just domestically. So no doubt he's going to have teams interested in him. But I think Celtic, because it's such a historic year, they will knock everything back until such times as the summer, where I know for maybe too big.
That is the crux of the matter. You know, Celtic's declared policy is bring them in for a small sum of money and sell them for a big sum of money. That's what happened with Dembele and will happen eventually with Edouard. However, were Celtic to let Edouard go before the end of the season, and it contributed towards Celtic not winning the league, then those who sold Edouard would be damned from now until the end of time by the Celtic fans.
Aman, what's your own take on it? Because he seems to be very much in the Dembele mould. There seems to be an inevitability that at some point he moves on. How long are you hoping you can keep him?
Exactly, because January they said Dembele was going to stay, last minute they sold him. Right, so in Dembele, and I don't want that happening to Edward. Every decent player, okay, you sold one of the best players called Kieran Tierney. He's away now. But why you want to sell that? Then after it's going to be IR, then who else is going to be after that? Why don't we keep these players? They're on non-contracts and keep them on for at least do this nine in a row and then get maybe a bit further in Europe, because we don't need the money.
Dembele left
and
because...
another point about...
Dembele left because he was becoming a disruptive force in the dressing room, and Brendan Rodgers actually had to send him off the training ground, and he was sold that day. But the money was fantastic. Celtic, Scottish club, cannot turn down £20 million for the players.
Are we now entering... Is Hudson-Edouard at the peak of his powers from what we've seen so far, Mark? I'm not saying he's not going to get better, but is this the best football he's played since we've seen him?
Well, I think so. I think it's the most consistent he's been. And I have to keep reminding myself how young he is. You know, I've gave him a fair bit of stick on this show in games that he hasn't showed up in. And then I have to remind myself he's still a young kid. He's still actually learning. But when he does turn up and he does play his potential... he's unstoppable, and he seems to have had a run of games just now at the start of this season where he's found a consistency, and that only bodes well for the boy. He is going to get much better, but he's in a really good place at the minute.
Aman, what was your other point there?
Right, okay, right, thank you. And my other point is, right, you know how, right, Ryan Kent is coming back to Rangers, right, and there are a lot of punters think that that's their game changer, right? Ryan Kent's going to win the league, or should be Rangers will make favourites. Why don't we find a granny or a granddad for Ryan Kent and make him play for Scotland, maybe win the Scotland win the World Cup, no?
Well, you know, you can't invent a granny or a granddad who was born in Scotland that just to make him eligible to play for us. If he's got one, we'd have found out about it by this time, but he clearly doesn't, and that idea is a non-starter.
Thank you very much. That was a man in Govan Hill. It's 01419511025. Mark is a Rangers fan. He's going to be next up, and we'll hear from the Rangers boss, Stephen Gerrard.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Mark Wilson are here as we welcome back the return of domestic football. We've actually got some championship action tonight, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, a Broth and Partick Thistle,
we
yeah.
We do indeed. And then massive games across the Premiership and beyond tomorrow. We're on the phones as always and on Twitter at Clyde SSB. TG Hail Hail 67. I can't quite see who they support. Says debut for Taylor tomorrow, used to the plastic pitches as well. It's a fair point.
Is it not the case that Ballingolly was always intended to be a backup?
Well, we will find out, I guess. Scott funny you mention it, Scotty Ballingolly is on Twitter. He says, looking forward to seeing the Hoops back in action. El Yunusi will start, in my opinion, along with Moritz Bauer. Big score expected, 5-0 to Celtic, he says. That's Twitter at Clyde SSB. And if you would rather phone 01419511025. Let's speak to Mark, who's a Rangers fan on the line. Hi, Mark.
Hi, just a couple of points I want to make.
Go for it.
I go to Ibrox every second Saturday to watch Rangers, and I'm worried about the way Tavernier's defending the new. I mean, he's getting caught out quite a lot with Kandeis now being there, because the two of them used to be like... they used to overlap each other. We can do us no there now. That's why Celtic pounded Tavernier doing that wing with two players all the time. And I was just wondering if Rangers should go in for Alan Hutton, a free transfer, just to play Tavernier a bit forward and put Alan Hutton at right back.
I think these days of these suggestions are gone, Mark, aren't they? He's one of the first names on Rangers' team sheet. His defending has improved a lot since he came to the club, and he's the captain, and there's no real suggestion that he'll ever move from there.
Yeah, I think he's the number one choice of right back. Listen, I've made my feelings clear about his defending this show. I believe that he's improved, but I still believe there's major question marks over his defending. I think you saw that two Sundays ago. Mikey Johnson, I think in the first half, just breezed by him without even a nudge or a tackle. And you know, it would be concerning for a Rangers fan. But what he gives to the team going forward can't be replaced. And I think if you do get a right back in, and when you think Rangers have got a right back, they've got Flanagan, they choose to play him at left back. But if you do get a defender as a right back and move Tavernier on, I think you take a bit away from his game. I think his game then becomes different. He receives the ball with his back to goal. It's a totally different position to play, and you don't get him running onto the ball and, you know, delivering like he does. So I think you'd be taking a lot away from your team if you have to move him further forward.
Mark, speaking of Rangers' wide options, would you expect Ryan Kent to start the game tomorrow?
I think Ryan Kent will start. I'd kind of cover Barajic as well, because Barajic's quite, he gets caught overlapping all the time, and he's got to cut inside all the time. No, I think he gets caught out quite a lot.
I expect that Kent will start. There's absolutely no reason why he shouldn't. And this is a programme about personal opinions. In my opinion, Rangers went after Ryan Kent with renewed interest because Celtic won at Ibrox. He was about to join Bruges, as he has told everyone in today's newspapers. But the downside of that for Ryan Kent is it then looks like Rangers have said Ryan Kent will make the difference between us winning the title and Celtic winning the title. That's a heavy burden for one player to carry. But £7 million, he'll be there tomorrow, and he will be expected to hit the ground running.
I think he looks the type of player that relishes that challenge, though, Hugh. I think there's certain players who are quiet within themselves who that may be too much for them. I think looking at Ryan Kent, even the way he finished the season last year, just his whole personality, the way he comes across, I think he looks like he likes to be the main man, that burden is put on his shoulders. You know, and do you honestly believe that Rangers signed him because of that loss? Do you not think that was an ongoing
pursuit
thing?
Last summer, I mean.
Yeah, but the deadline was upon them. And I think if Rangers had beaten Celtic, I'm not convinced they would have spent £7 million on a player the following day.
Who would be the guys that you came across, Mark, that go into that bracket of thriving on the expectation or thriving on the hope that they can be the main man? Because it obviously causes some people to go into their shell, but you're predicting Ryan Kent would be the opposite. Did you come across guys like that in your career?
You're talking to me or Mark on the phone?
Oh, you, sorry.
Oh, me, sorry.
I'm not sure what dressing rooms Mark's been in.
Sorry,
to answer,
I don't know.
Or
guys who relish the... Listen, see guys like Aidan McGeady. Now, he's one similar position to Ryan Kent, but he loved... You know, he took that responsibility. We all knew, you give the ball to Aidan, he can make things happen. Guys like that are so valuable to the team. Guys who took responsibility, took the game by the scruff of the neck. You know, they're so valuable. And who else? I mean, Maloney, quieter guy, but again, he knew how talented he was. It's guys who know and understand how talented they are and who can make a difference. And that's why the cost, you know, the big money, and you know, the fans love them. But those two guys stood out for me in a Celtic point of view.
Let's hear from Stephen Gerrard. He says, Joe Aribo is proving why signing for Rangers was the right move. If you remember, his switch from Charlton was criticised by Lee Bowyer at the time, wasn't it? He didn't think it would benefit his career, but after watching him make his full international debut, Gerrard says progress can't be disputed.
Congratulations to him. You know, his first game, he manages to get a goal. And he was rewarded for his form as a Rangers player. You know, it was his first call-up, so it shows you that he's at the right place and he's playing football at the right level. You know, European football, playing in old firms. You know, at last he's being recognised as an international player now. He's rewarded with his first game and he gets his first goal, so he should be in a great place. They must have started watching him since he was playing at Rangers. You know, they must be happy with him playing in Europa League games and playing in front of 51,000. You know, the people who select now for the Nigerian national team know that he can play in big football games. You know, I don't know many players in the Championship who are playing for Nigeria.
A not so subtle dig at Lee Bowyer.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. This is everyone clubs together. It's like we'll all slag each other, but don't slag our league, sort of thing. We'll stick up for it.
He's dealt with that, Stephen Gerrard. I also think, just to hark back to the Ryan Jack one very, very briefly, it's Stephen Gerrard's player, Stephen Gerrard's opinion, and Stephen Gerrard's right to free speech. If Stevie Clark wishes to contradict anything, the floor is his.
About Ryan Jack thing, I don't think that's abnormal. Me personally, I don't think that's abnormal 2 days after a game to run 11K in a training session.
If you've got an existing knee issue, though, it might be.
Existing knee injury, I mean, surely the player should flag that up.
But again, you turn up, you're trying... Yeah, you're not wrong, but you can sort of understand why, because how many times the players... just try and get on with it, and just try and you think, well, I'm here at the Scotland team and I don't want to show any sign of weakness, and I want to crack on.
I can understand that, yeah. You know, on the Aribo thing, what you're saying, he's right. He's shown he can play in big games and a quality player. The unfortunate thing for him, though, in the biggest game, he was played out of position. And that's down to Steven Gerrard. I mean, I'm sure every Rangers fan that went along to that game would have loved to have seen him playing in the midfield three, where he's been so successful. But he was played out of position and he was forced out of the game. And that's a shame, because that was the biggest stage of all for him to shine on. But I'm sure he's got plenty of other games to shine on. I'm sure Steven Gerrard's looked at that game, probably learned his lesson. And I don't know how many times you'll see him in that position going forward.
Well, back to what we were suggesting about Ryan Kent. He could feature tomorrow against Livingston after returning from Liverpool. The manager says it's a chance for them to forget about that Old Firm defeat last time out.
I know what these players can do individually and collectively. I know some of the performance there's... some of the top performances they've already delivered. 3 days before it, they were absolutely magnificent. Maybe that took a little bit out, who knows, but there's no getting away from it. We have to accept that. We have to be responsible. We've took the criticism on the chin, and we own up to that. All we can do now is move forward and try and recover from that, and that starts at Livingston. You know, 3 points is always the perfect tonic after a big defeat.
And there is the subtext for tomorrow, Hugh. It's pretty simple. Rangers need to get the 3 points. They want to stay near the top of the league. Just below that in the list of priorities, you're looking at what type of response did you get after losing to Celtic?
Yeah, I mean, unless Celtic implode tomorrow, they'll win at Hamilton and Rangers will start against Livingston 6 points behind. Not three, double that number. So there's no room for no margin for error whatsoever. So whether you're Ryan Kent, Joe Aribo, Tavernier, whoever, you have to be bang on it tomorrow against Livy.
I mean, Mark, it's the unique nature of the Old Firm game that the reaction to it is magnified. It gets blown up, and we've had a couple of weeks to stew on it as well. Yeah. Rangers have lost one of 13 games this season. So yes, they weren't good at Ibrox, and yes, Steven Gerrard got it wrong. They've lost one of 13 games.
Exactly.
So it's not exactly time to panic, is it?
No, listen, Steven Gerrard highlighted the point when he said, you know, we're far better off this year than we were last year in terms of points. What Rangers have to do is now put a run of games together where they continually win. And that was where they fell down last season. They take the Celtic game on the chin and move on and bounce back from it. And they start this week at Livy, but they have to then sustain that, because last year, if you remember, they went a couple of games, a draw, perhaps a defeat, and there was no consistency. And the only real consistency they got was near the end of the season, where they put that wee run of 5 games together. They need to start now, and they need to try and go all the way to the next Celtic game, seems far in the future, without dropping any points if possible. Listen, I genuinely believe they've got the squad to potentially do that. You know, I believe Celtic have as well, but when Rangers find themselves in the position they're just now, 3 points behind this early, I know it sounds stupid, but these Old Firm games are massive this season. That could be the difference.
Are we dismissing Livingston unfairly, Hugh, because they have made a reputation, they've earned a reputation as being the surprise package of the Scottish Premiership? They've not lost any games this season.
Yeah.
They've won their last three in a row as well, and despite losing all those important players, Gary Holt looks like he's got them bang at it already this season.
Yeah, I don't think we're dismissing them. Simply saying this: you're at Rangers, they've got better players than you have. Yes, you've not dropped anything this season or not lost anything this season. However, logic would suggest that Rangers would beat Livingston. Now it's up to you then to ram logic into a difficult place.
George is in Bathgate. What are you thinking ahead of this game tomorrow, George?
As long as they get the game tomorrow, to be honest. But just, I was just about, it's not an easy game. Not really quite an easy game. These teams always play their best against Rangers when they come on Gordon. But see, at the end of the day, we've not got any God-given right just to win games anyway. And I've had a good start this season. But at the point I was actually wanting to make, Gordon, an absolutely ridiculous call a wee while ago there. James Tavernier can't defend. I mean, I just, some people, it's Friday night in Glasgow, of course, but some people have phoned up and just, I don't understand where they come from. And then Hugh Keevan's one, he just said daily now. A boy said last week there, some people just get all old and set in their ways. Well, Hugh Keevan just turned around daily now and says, Rangers are putting all their eggs in one basket with Ryan Kent. Absolutely no chance of me doing that. Rangers were absolutely rubbish in the Old Firm game against the other team. Absolutely rubbish. Not one man, maybe Alan McGregor and possibly Flanagan, showed up that day. We're not putting our eggs in one basket, we're bringing in one young lad. we're better than maybe we were the other day. We're bringing in one young laddie because we've been trying to get him all summer. But for somebody to come in and say we're putting all our eggs in the one basket, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I didn't use that phrase, and what I said was, no, I didn't. I did not use the phrase eggs in one basket.
You didn't say eggs in one basket,
You didn't use that phrase, but that's what you said about Ryan Kent.
But anyway, what I said about Ryan Kent was it gives the impression when you lose to Celtic and then pay £7 million the following day to bring in a player, it gives the impression that you are saying this player will make the difference between Rangers winning the league and Celtic winning the league. It gives that impression. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think it does. Sure, I really don't think it does. And if you're honest about it, if you know anything about football, Rangers chased the boy all summer and would have preferred another loan deal. It was never going to happen. So we had to spend the big bucks. That's what that team wanted. So that's what we've got to fight. I don't think that's Steven Gerrard or anybody at Rangers saying
the day before the game, Steven Gerrard did his press and said, "Nah, Ryan Kent is off the table because we can't go that far in terms of the money." The following day,
because he was going to a Champions League team in Belgium, we didn't think we were at that level.
But the following day, the money was there. And what changed? Celtic beat Rangers.
Nothing. That's not the only reason. But if you think that's the only reason, if you honestly believe that for one second that Rangers won the chase and that lad all the way through the summer, and it just happened.
I don't dispute that at all. I am saying, in my personal opinion, and you, George, are on to give us your personal opinion. In my personal opinion, if Rangers had beaten Celtic, they would not have bought Ryan Kent for £7 million the following day.
Big question now, George, does he start tomorrow?
Like you say, it's your opinion. No. In my opinion, I think you're completely wrong. If you, I think Rangers chased him at the very last second, and there was a Champions League team in trying to sign the laddie, and we were lucky to have got the laddie. I think it was because Ryan Kent basically said where he wanted to go. So Ryan Kent said where he wanted to go. So for anybody to turn around and say we're putting our league decider on a young lad, the 22-year-old coming out of Rangers, absolutely madness. We were rubbish against that team. We're a better team than we showed that day. And I think we're getting him in. It's got to make a bit of a difference. No guarantee he's winning the league, but I think it's got to make a bit of a difference.
Does he start tomorrow, George?
I think he will. I think he should start tomorrow, if I'm perfectly honest. I think he'd maybe start the morning. I think possibly Big Hellander will probably start as well the morning to have a game. But I think we should do well the morning.
Who does he replace? Why do you mention that one?
I think it's about time maybe we've got a bit of a start, like he's been trying to get his fitness up and things like that. So I think I'm not saying anybody's getting dropped. I just think it's time for the year the big guy a bit of a start.
Somebody'll need to get dropped though.
Well, somebody will need to get dropped, but I'm not saying, well, do you drop somebody? There's a, in my opinion, Gordon, you can drop somebody, but you can rest somebody.
Okay.
And that's my honest opinion. I don't think you always have to just drop somebody when somebody else is getting played.
Thank you very much. That was George in Bathgate. Give us a call, 01419511025. Don't worry, Hugh, because John is next up. He wants to pull you up about something as well, speak to him next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Mark Wilson are here. Get your calls in or send them a nice tweet at Clyde SSB. I mean, they don't have to be nice, but obviously it's Friday night. Try and keep it polite if you can. John's on the phone though. John's a Celtic fan. Wants a word with Hugh Keevans. John.
Hi Hugh. Before I pull you up, Hugh, I'm going to actually agree with that last caller. If he thinks they didn't sign Ryan Kent, I think it's Clark Kent, I think he has written off. If he didn't sign him, because if they had beat us, they wouldn't have signed Ryan Kent. So I'm poor at Paul Yorkshire, I'm sure I'll agree with you. Know what I mean? Anyway.
But. Here we go.
You wrote off, sure, you're one of the ones in the media, right, who wrote off this ball and bolly. You said the guy didn't have it. So I just want you to, after I heard you earlier on the show, so I want you to admit you got it wrong, sure.
He had a good game at Ibrox.
Yes.
So we'll now need to see how he progresses from there, surely, John.
Well, you said that's the you know what I mean? If you can play well at Ibrox in your old firm debut, you know what I mean? You can play anywhere as Mark Wallwood, you know what I mean?
But John, if you're unhappy at people making snap judgments on him in a negative sense, are you now not making a snap judgment on him in a positive sense?
No, I've got to give the guy a chance. Mark played with Celtic, he'll know. It's a big club, obviously, it's fit in. And the guys came, young boys came from a foreign country, you know what I mean? And he took a wee bit while to settle in. But Obviously, he's maybe good touching on Tavernier there, right? Taverner's a good guy going forward, and he's not a great defender. But ball and ball, he's maybe not the best defender, but he's great going forward, so but that'll work at him, you know what I mean? But just, a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not saying you're right, I'm talking about a paper, right? I wouldn't mention it, I'm not allowed to, supposedly, right?
I never said you couldn't mention it.
No, I'm just saying, right, well, take the Daily Record done Neil Lennon's team talk.
You can mention that if you want.
Right, the Daily Record done Neil Lennon's team talk for him. Celtic have won the last 9 trophies, right? And you're one of your guys yourself, Shu. You wax lyrical about Steven Gerrard. Steven Gerrard's won nothing as a manager. Know what I mean? And a wee guy called Henrik Larsson, if you ever remember him, played for 4 months in the Premiership, and he's got more English Championship medals than Steven Gerrard. So I don't know how you all wax lyrical about this guy. The guy's won nothing as a manager. Know what I mean?
You've covered a whole range of topics there. I'll try and remember all the things that you said. With regard to Bolingoli, he certainly took his time to settle. Neil Lennon didn't play him in an important European tie because he didn't feel he could trust him either. And I said potentially he, El Hamed and Christopher Julian had come of age at Ibrox because their displays there were so outstanding. Now all of them have to go on from there. Bolingoli included. With regard to Steven Gerrard, I've said at the start of the season that I think whoever loses this title will lose their job as well. And that means if Steven Gerrard finishes second, I think he'll get sacked. So that's not me waxing lyrical. I'm observing what's going on round about me. Sometimes Steven Gerrard will deserve fulsome praise. And I have given Neil Lennon fulsome praise here when the Celtic supporters were coming on and treating him disrespectfully following the decision taken by Brendan Rodgers to go elsewhere and the reappointment of Neil Lennon as manager. Some of the things that were said about Neil Lennon were ridiculous, and I have stood by him.
Yes, I agree with you, Shanaud. I know you've backed Neil Lennon up, Shanaud, and you gave him a right good going report a couple of weeks ago. Neil got his tactics right, and Steven Gerrard obviously got the tactics wrong. We're playing an expansive football.
Therefore, you remember that programme where I said Neil Lennon get everything right and Steven Gerrard get everything wrong.
Yes, I agree.
So how is that waxing lyrical then about Steven Gerrard?
Well, you did at the start of the season. More or less, you were giving it all. Because he's a big name, it was as if, oh, he can't do anything wrong. And
I also tipped Celtic to win the league.
I know you did. I'm just, to say.
Therefore, when people deserve praise, I give them praise. And when people deserve criticism, I give them criticism. That's how the game works.
John, we thank you very much for the call. 01419511025. And Mark Wilson, we generally are probably knee-jerk in both respects here. We all do it. People probably did write Bolingoli off too quickly. Mm. But equally, people have now,
yeah, I think he's
elevated him to a level because of one game as well. It's just, I don't know, is it a modern phenomenon? We're not as willing to just take a breath, find out how he does between now and Christmas, and then, listen, that's what we do. We're so obsessed with the game and things move on week to week. I get that.
And it's all about opinions, as we keep saying. My honest opinion is I don't think he's out the woods yet. I was one of the ones that were critical of him, especially on this show, about him defending, even about his use of the ball. And I was the first to say here 2 Sundays ago that he was outstanding in the game. But one outstanding game doesn't mean he's going to be an overwhelming success for Celtic. He has to do that over a number of games now. And that's a big challenge, going back to what we were saying at the start. Playing against Hamilton, where you're taking the game to them. You're on the ball constantly. You get more time in the ball, which means you've got more time to make mistakes. You start picking wrong passes at some stages. Whether at Ibrox, everything Bolingoli did was automatic.
Instinctive.
He didn't need to think about it, Gordon. So he has to do that continually before you go, he's a success.
Let's squeeze in John, a Rangers fan in Parkhead. Hi, John.
Hi, good evening. How you doing?
Hi, John.
Just a wee bit peeved. A bit peeved at Shu Keevans. Shu, how you doing?
All right.
Shu, I know for a fact that win, lose or draw against Celtic, Rangers were signing Ryan Kent.
How do you know for a fact?
Well, I'm not telling you. I know.
Well, unless you can tell me, then you'll have to allow me my skepticism.
Well, it's like you, Shu. You know things you don't tell. You don't tell the callers.
No, I said that in my opinion, you don't know for a fact.
You
unless
just said
Steven
that's the impression you got. You've made that pretty clear.
The impression I am given is that if you go in the day after you lose to Celtic and pay £7.5 million for a player. I think you did that because you lost to Celtic.
Hugh's been quite clear. I don't want this to become too repetitive. Go on, John, give us a wee sneak peek at your source. How do you know for a fact?
Well, put it this way. I tried going to the show about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I get through to the researcher boy, and I didn't get a phone. I wanted to talk to Ryan Kent that night, and I didn't even get back to me. I know through Sunday at Ibrox that Rangers have been chasing Ryan Kent for quite some time now.
Everybody knows that.
Well, I'm going to tell you, we'll win, lose, or draw, but we're signing them.
Well,
you said to me, you're telling me that it was a panic buy.
No, I did not use the expression panic buy. I did not say eggs in one basket. You're coming on and making up things that I allegedly said. I said that, in my opinion, the signing of Ryan Kent gives the impression that.
Gives me the impression that covered it off.
You think he'll be the difference between winning and losing the title. And in my humble opinion, I don't think £7.5 million would have been spent on Monday, the 2nd of September, if Rangers had beaten Celtic on Sunday, the 1st of September.
John, same question to you to round it off. Does he start tomorrow? Does he go straight in, or are you giving him a bit of patience?
I think he'll probably be on the bench, maybe see how the game goes. We'll bring him on by half an hour to go. Shane, just before I go, you said also that Rangers had no money. That was your words a wee while ago. Rangers had no money to buy guys like Ryan Kent. How did you know that?
I said that Rangers were not yet a sustainable business, and Dave King will tell you the same thing. They've got the Europa League money, and that has given them a little financial leeway.
Thank you very much to John in Parkhead. Oh, Hugh's getting it tight tonight, isn't he? But that's what he's
Things that I never actually said.
That's what he's here for. 01419511025. That's the number you need to get in touch right now, because it's time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to start off your weekend the right way. Win yourself a signed football if you've got the knowledge to defeat Hugh Keevans or Mark Wilson. If you're up for the challenge, 01419511025. Do it quick. You only have until the news at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompsons.com.
Hugh Keevans and Mark Wilson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Give us a call. We'd love to hear what you're thinking ahead of tomorrow's return of the Premiership, the Championship, League One and Two. Tell us what's on your mind. Who do you want to see play for your team? How do you think the game will go? Maybe some new signings you've got your eye on. Let us know on the phones or on Twitter at Clyde SSB, and we'll hear from you next.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. The Pundits had a dreadful week last week, but they've sort of regained their composure. They're back on the saddle, so to speak. See if Peter can knock you off tonight. Peter's in Cambus Lang. How are you tonight?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah.
Good stuff, Peter. You're obviously a Celtic fan as well. Are you banking on an easy victory as per Hugh Keevan's prediction tomorrow?
I think so. I think, you know, surely they kind of go to Ibrox and win and then blow it against Hamilton Accies, you know. So I would expect Celtic to win 3-4-0, I would expect.
Brian Rice will be listening. He'll record this, Hugh Keevans. Remember, in the old days, you used to pin it up on the wall. He'll just play it. He'll get the Bluetooth speaker out, and he's going to play this tomorrow. He's going to do the team talk.
I'm sure
he's going to do the team talk for him.
Brian's a 56-year-old man. I'm sure he's able to speak up for himself, and he can have his say after the game, after the concrete flooring has been well and truly pounded tomorrow.
Well, we'll hear from him actually after we play Beat the Pundit. But let's do it first. Heads, it is going to be Peter against Hugh, and tails, it's going to be Peter against Mark. It is tails. It's Mark Wilson against Peter from Cambus Lang. And Mark Wilson, maybe he's been distracted. He's been poring over hours upon hours of Cove Rangers footage this week. He's been doing his research. So you might be able to cash in, Peter. I'll give Mark some Clyde 2 in his ear, and that way he can't hear us. So no cheating for Mark Wilson tonight. It's just you and I, Peter. You've got 30 seconds head to head with Mark. You can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit. Are you ready?
Go for it, yeah.
Who was the Aberdeen manager before Derek McInnes?
Pass.
Who was the only Rangers player in last week's Scotland squad?
Brian Jack.
Which Portuguese team play their home games at the Estádio Dragão?
Porto.
Which team were crowned English Premier League champions in 2016?
Manchester City.
Ryan Christie and which other player are joint Premiership top scorers?
Edward.
Which side are bottom of the Premiership at the moment, Scottish Premiership? Who's bottom? Okay, Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson is, sorry. Can you hear us, Mark?
Yes.
Yes, you can. Alright, same set of questions to you. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
Who was the Aberdeen manager before Derek McInnes?
Craig Brown.
Who was the only Rangers player in last week's Scotland squad?
Ryan Jack.
Which Portuguese team play their home games at the Estádio Dragão?
Benfica.
Which team were crowned English Premier League champions in 2016?
Man City.
Ryan Christie and which other player are joint Premiership top scorers?
Edward.
And which side are currently bottom of the Scottish Premiership?
Pass.
Pass. Pass. How can you pass? You've got a 1 in 12 chance. It's obviously not Celtic or Rangers. You've got a 1 in
over there. Oh, you're putting me under my pressure.
Too late. You've passed it. You've passed it. Absolute.
You know what, I was kicking myself over some of the answers I did give, and then I thought, oh, it's not him.
What do you think, Peter? Has the Cove Rangers scouting mission got him a bit hot under the collar this evening?
Oh, I think it might be a drab 0-0 draw there, I think.
I don't think it's quite as bad as that, Peter. I don't think it's quite as bad. However, let's find out how close it was. Who was the Aberdeen manager before Derek McInnes? It is Craig Brown. Mark Wilson knew that one.
Yes, Peter. 1-0. There you go for your 0-0.
I wouldn't get too confident just yet if I were you. I would hold on to that confidence. You've been hanging around with Gordon DL too much. The only Rangers player in last week's final Scotland squad was Ryan Jack. You both got it. So 2-1. Which Portuguese team play at the Estádio Dragão? You played in Europe many times for Celtic. Did you ever play against Benfica?
He did it.
No,
no, not Benfica, but he played in this ground. Did I you saw
ever,
him there.
Did you ever play against Porto? Did
yes.
you?
Is that who it's yes. Porto?
So, so you've played there.
Yeah.
So hold on, let me get this straight. Peter and Cambus Lang, just to double check, you've never played away at Porto, have you?
No, it's one of the few stadiums I've not played on.
Peter knew it and you didn't. You should hang your head in shame. To all, which team were crowned English Premier League champions in 2016?
Leicester.
It was Leicester. He went for the obvious. It was Leicester City. Ryan Christie and which other player are joint top scorer? You both went Edouard
Donnelly.
Liam Donnelly. How
Donnelly.
Dare you? How dare you forget about the goal scoring machine from Motherwell, Liam Donnelly? So it's still to all. Last question. Which side are bottom of the Premiership? Mark Wilson says
St. Johnston.
Pass.
I know.
It's not pass. Peter said Saint
Did he?
Mirren,
oh,
and he's wrong,
Peter,
as well.
That's a terrible answer.
It's a 2-2 draw, which means we go to the tiebreaker. Now, Peter, here's what happens on the tiebreak. I ask the question, I will get Mark Wilson to write his answer down, and I'll then invite you to give us your attempt, okay?
Okay.
Great stuff, here it is. Dundee were relegated from the Scottish Premiership last season. How many points did they finish the campaign with? Mark Wilson, write your answer down. Dundee were relegated from the Scottish Premiership last season. How many points did they have? Peter, what's your attempt?
17.
Okay. Peter says 17. Mark Wilson says 21.
Oh, no. It's tight.
I am heartbroken to tell you the answer is 21. He's got it on the nose.
I know the Angus area.
Oh, yes. Peter, honestly, I feel sorry for you. That is a one in a million shout from Mark Wilson, and he's got it on the nose.
Well done, Mark.
Oh, enjoy your weekend, Peter.
Hard lines, Peter. Oh dear, you've got
how good is that?
Well, that's lucky.
That's
it's
the start
absolute
of a good
lucky.
Weekend, I think, for myself.
Done 21 points. You got it bang on, Hugh.
Well,
bang,
you know, if you're going to pull yourself out of a hole, that's the way to do it. As Scott Fox had just done for Partick Thistle, the goalkeeper's just made an absolutely magnificent save from Arbroath's O'Brien. So with 4 minutes gone, it's still 0-0. But Scott Fox, magnificent save to stop Thistle going behind.
Yeah, Friday night football in the Championship, Arbroath 0, Partick Thistle 0. You can't see this very often, but it looks like a lovely night in Arbroath.
Oh, listen, I've been there.
Usually when the wind is whipping up, in fact it does look a bit breezy, it always is. But yeah, sunny enough.
I've only ever played once at Arbroath, and it was exactly the way you described it. Now that stand, brutal. I'm taking it, that stand we are looking at, is that new? Because I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure that wasn't there, or looking that way when I played. I mean, I was a 17-year-old kid at Dundee United.
So, well, even then, it's not exactly new, is it, if it's been built since then?
But anyway, it's a tough place to play.
Let's, I don't think Arbroath have been building new stands recently. No. I could be wrong, but
okay.
Yeah, 0-0 between Arbroath and Partick Thistle. And it is a big weekend for you, Mark Wilson, because you're up against your old playing partner,
yeah,
Paul Hartley, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Your first game in the Brechin dugout against Cove. They don't come easy to start off, do they? Cove are rampant. What's the master plan to, to unravel them?
If I tell you that, Paul might be listening and then scupper it.
On a serious note, looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait. You know, being back in the touchline again, obviously grateful for the opportunity to get back in, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's a hard game to start off with, but when you look at it, really, I mean, it's one that we'd probably prefer. You know, it's put little pressure on the players. Not a lot of people are expecting much from us tomorrow, so you allow the players to go out and play with a freedom against a very good Cove side who have thrown a wee bit of money at it, you know, shown their ambitions by getting Paul in as manager first and foremost. Then they get Five in, who nobody would ever thought. I mean, we were chatting on here a couple of weeks ago about how did they get him, you know, but obviously he's seen the ambition of the club. So look, it's going to be incredibly difficult. Doesn't help when our numbers have been a wee bit decimated, but look, if we're going to win a game, it'd be great to win this first one against Cove, and that'll just install confidence throughout the squad.
You admire the bravery, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, I mean, I was just
like
looking
it when
at
these
it.
Guys go back in, they don't shy away from the challenge.
Well, you know, Mark's a brave guy, because on the face of it, you know, Brechin, second bottom of the bottom division in our country, Cove Rangers, an emergent new club to the SPFL. Started the season very well, top of the league versus second bottom. So good luck to Mark tomorrow.
And speaking of Partick Thistle, they're on the TV at the moment. You're then playing. You're actually getting the boots back on. You're playing in Chris Doolan's testimonial game on Sunday. Yeah. It's a Thistle Legends against a Celtic Legends team. Some big names in there. Chris Commons, Lubo Moravchik for Celtic, like Chris Doolan, obviously, Chris Erskine, Alan Archibald, Danny Lennon's getting the boots back on.
Yeah.
He's always got them on. And you're playing in that one, looking forward to it.
I'm actually, because when you look at those names, it's great. I mean, the Celtic team to catch up with some ex-teammates like Chris Commons and you know, Sid and Jackie and things like that. But playing with Lubo Moravchik, I mean, I miss playing against Lubo Moravchik. I went to see him playing as a kid, but I missed it. So it'll be great to be on the same pitch. But Chris Doolan, what a servant he's been to Thistle, and it's a great send-off for him. But the thing I'm slightly concerned about, slightly, is that Thistle side. I think that Thistle side could give the Thistle side just now
a
game.
Stephen O'Donnell's playing, is he not?
Playing,
so he just played for Scotland last week.
He's got right back, then you've got Taylor Sinclair at left back, you've got Paul Payton in the middle of the park, you've got, obviously, Chris Doolan, you've got Chris Erskine, Stephen Wallace. What are these guys? Fox, I think, is playing, is he?
This should be good, Hugh Keevans, because Mark retired with dodgy knees years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe, not for me to say, he's maybe carrying a few more pounds now than he was then. Yeah. He's got a dodgy hamstring, and I really hope he's going to be playing left back against Stephen O'Donnell, who's just going to run up and down all day long.
Running up and down.
And Mark Wilson will have to chase him.
The one thing you haven't told is the kickoff time.
I'll tell you right now, if I can find it on my
4
magic bill paper.
I think it is
4 p.m. And you can pay at the gate, folks. So if you want to go along, I think it's a tenner and a fiver. So get along. What a good day. Family
fun
that'll
be.
Get along. Even if to see Mark Wilson blown out his backside after 5 minutes. Robert is in Kirkintilloch. Let's speak to Robert. Hi, Robert.
Hi there. Hello. I just wanted to make a point. It was when you were touching on the managers earlier. Mm-hmm. You were saying about, you think whoever loses the league could be out by the end of the season. I just wanted to make take a point if Rangers fall further behind,
ain't
Gerard can
bet
with January.
Nah, well, I mean, you're wildly premature. They're 3 points behind, you know.
I mean, he did say if, but even then.
Listen, I was the one who said, in my opinion again, the loser of the league title will probably get the sack. I don't think Rangers would give Steven Gerrard a third try. If he couldn't stop 8 in a row, if he can't stop 9 in a row, I don't think Rangers will trust him to stop 10 in a row. On the other side of the city,
he would get to the end of the season regardless, surely, wouldn't he?
Yeah, without doubt.
We are being hypothetical, of
course.
On
the other side of the city, Neil Lennon has to deliver 9 and then 10, or everyone will get it. The Celtic supporters will go for him, they'll go for Peter Lawwell, they'll go for everybody, because they already think they've got 10, and I wouldn't like to be the man who disappoints them. So,
what if he wins a cup though, Hugh, Steven Gerrard, or two cups? Does he stay? Does he I think he will. I think they would trust him to.
Yeah, if you won two cups, surely.
Yeah.
But anyway, to address Robert's point, you know, there's only 3 points between the sides. Yeah. We've played 4 games, and he's already prophesying that if Steven Gerrard should fall any further behind, he's out by January. And again, in my opinion, Robert, that is not going to be the case.
I was just thinking with Kent and spending $7 million, we're taking a big gamble, and obviously you've got a big, big game right before January as well.
You mean Celtic at Celtic Park on the 28th of December?
Yep.
Yeah, that's I mean, if he lost the second Old Firm game of the season, then wow, I wouldn't like to be Stephen trying to enjoy New Year after that. However, I believe they will persevere, as Gordon Duncan said, until it is arithmetically impossible for Rangers to win the league title. But to talk about him being out of a job after 4 games, I don't think that's on.
Thank you very much, Robert, in Kirkintilloch, 141 951 1025. I wonder if there are any Hamilton Accies fans out there. The guys in the studio are not giving you much chance tomorrow. Do you fancy an upset? You've been known to do it in the past. Why not get in touch? Let's hear from your manager. Here's Brian Rice.
I think in all my time in football, people have always been scared of the Old Firm. You know, they won't say it, you know, but me personally, you know, it's very daunting playing against Celtic and Rangers. You know, when you see the form they're in. But at the end of the day, you know, it's 11 v 11. And football's got enough of a habit of causing upsets. You know, but we need to have a really, really good day. A really good day. And Celtic need to be a bit below par. And if that happens, then you just never know in football. But if you don't compete first and foremost, then you have no chance. So my message is we need to compete. We need to be organised and we need to compete. Celtic will always cause you problems and always create chances. Right? Now, the last thing we need to do is to do anything stupid and make it easy for them. You know, if they're going to come here and be the Celtic they know they're going to be, then we need to make it really difficult for them and don't make it too easy by doing stupid things on the pitch.
Brian Rice there, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting, you know, the first thing that Brian said was, you know, we're not scared. I'm not suggesting that fear is the deciding factor here. I'm deciding that Celtic, with the quality of player that they have, they would have to be murder tomorrow not to win that match.
But he's got a point. I get what he's saying, that if Hamilton go and stand off Celtic, it'll just be a formality. What Brian Rice is looking for is his team to play, like he's saying, without fear. Just go at them. You know, if the winger gets the ball and tries to take on ball and goalie or whoever, and he loses it, so what? At least he's trying something. You know, be up against them. You know, don't stand off them and let them play. And I always like the way Brian Rice speaks. I mean, a guy that loves his football. You know, he's been coaching for many years. I mean, I'm at the Stenhouse Muir game, Gordon, last week against TNS, watching for my purposes because we play Stenhouse Muir next week. And who's sitting in front of me? Brian Rice. And I'm thinking, why? But a guy who just loves his football and knows his football, wants to take in, you know, even teams that hasn't nothing to do with him, but he's got a great understanding of the game, and he'll need that tomorrow against a very good Celtic side.
I think Celtic have won their last 4 visits to Hamilton. They were held to a draw in the February 2016 game. Dedryck Boyata was sent off in the first half, though. So recent history would suggest it will be 3 points for Celtic. Thomas will be hoping so. He's from Stirling as a Celtic fan. Hi, Thomas.
All right, guys, how's it doing?
Good, Thomas.
I just want to ask a question. Maybe Mark will know it better, but I just want to wonder, like, what's happened to Marion Stead? Because he has a good pre-season. I mean, there's Lennon no rate him, and Johnson's out, and I'd like to see Elanusi, but I want to see him get a chance today because the boy seems to be decent. I just wonder what the panel thought about that.
Well, what I've heard is he was injured. Now, I don't know how far that injury set him back. I mean, we've certainly seen a glimpse of him when he scored that great goal.
He is fit, and he was fit. Neil Lennon spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, Thomas. He was asked specifically about Marion Stead, and he said that, you know, basically just wasn't up to the level yet. He needed to increase his intensity and tempo, I think those were the words that he used, and just basically needed to get up to the level.
I think when you have a decent pre-season and you get a wee injury, it is a setback. Now, the standards at Celtic are incredible. So if you're set back a couple of weeks, you could be playing catch-up. you know, for a wee bit, especially the position he plays in and the guys he's got in front of him. And it's unfortunate when you're at a club like Celtic where you're a winger and you think you're going to get a chance, you get an injury and you're trying to get back and they sign a guy who's been bought for 16 million quid and he's put in ahead of you. You've got a guy, Mikey Johnson, who's absolutely on fire. So, you know, it's a lot of work to get in that Celtic side, and I think that's what Neil Lennon's alluding to.
I mean, Thomas, he was nowhere to be seen at the Rangers game or the AIK game. He was on the bench for the Hearts game and was unused, obviously.
Do you rate him, though? I think he's decent enough.
I've not seen nearly enough of him, if I'm being totally honest. I mean, I've seen his goal when he comes on, and like every other person that watched it, thought, oh, this guy's got a bit, you know, because you need ability to do that. But I'd be lying if I said he's an outstanding winger, because I've not seen enough, and I think we're all the same in this room. You see clips on YouTube, Elm, but I tell you what, I'd probably still look good on YouTube if you put an actual fight scored in my five-a-sides performances.
Anyway, Partick Thistle are going to go down. Arbroath score through Thompson after 14 minutes. And Mark, you could hardly call it against the run of play, because before that, Scott Fox pulled off his second wonderful save of the game. And eventually, the dam burst. Arbroath scored, and it's no more than they deserve. So Partick Thistle, bottom of the championship and toiling.
Thomas was also asking if you would expect to see El Yunusi this weekend from the start.
I think that the Celtic fans would love to see him because he comes with a reputation, has a certain calibre. Again, I don't know whether Neil Lennon will tailor his side because of the pitch. But if you wanted to see someone...
But again, he played on those all the time in Norway, so that wouldn't be a consideration for him.
Well, if you wanted to see someone, it would be El Yunusi, because it comes across as a terrific piece of business.
Yeah, if he's fit, if he's fully fit and been training, I think there's no question you start him. Why bring him to the club if you're not going to start him? Like I say, if Mikey Johnson was fit, then he probably would find himself on the bench again, because Mikey Johnson has been terrific. But Mikey Johnson injured, Scott Sinclair out the picture, El Yunusi for me has got to start.
There are guys also, Mark, like Ryan Christie, obviously, was one of the few successes in the international matches. So he'd be okay, but McGregor, Forrest, have had an awful lot of football. I think if Celtic wanted to, they could allow them a rest.
Thomas and Stirling, thank you very much. That was 0141 951 1025. We'll take more of your calls next. And you know it's that time of the evening, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevan's dream team on the full time teaser. How many answers are we looking for tonight? 10. 10 goal scorers you're looking for. I'll reveal the question next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's that time of the night when Hugh Keevans and Mark Wilson have to team up and tackle tonight's full time teaser. That has been sent in tonight by, where is my bit of paper? Alex McLean. Thank you to Alex.
Listen, the briefing manager has just destroyed my confidence. He said, I listened to you doing this and you sound even worse than me.
I hope
his team talk tomorrow is a little more positive.
Alex, anyway, thank you for the question. fulltime@clyde1.com. If you've got a question and you want to hear it used on the show, we'd love to have it. Send it over to us, fulltime@clyde1.com. So, tonight you're looking for... Well, Alex is looking for the top 10 Scotland goal scorers who've never played for the Old Firm. Can you name the top 10 Scotland goal scorers who've never played for the Old Firm?
Of all time.
There is a bit of a caveat. It only includes players who scored their last goal from 1980 onwards.
James McFadden.
He is top of the list. He got 14 Scotland goals, never played for Celtic or Rangers.
Over to you, Hugh.
Stevie Archibald.
No.
The look Hugh's just given me there is a look that says we're in trouble. Stephen Fletcher.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got 10 Scotland goals, has never played for Rangers or Celtic.
Kevin Gallagher.
Yes, he's got 8 Scotland goals.
Get in there.
There we go. That's a good start. So you can play along with us at home if you want. We're looking for the top 10
10 Scotland goal scorers who have never played for Celtic or Rangers. Now it only includes players who scored their last Scotland goal from 1980 onwards. Okay.
Don Hutchison?
Yes. That's fine. That's 4 of 10.
You.
James McFadden, Stephen Fletcher, Kevin Gallagher and Don Hutchison. I was listening. I was eerie wigging at the break, Hugh Keevens. I was pretending I was doing something else, but I could hear you and Mark Wilson gossiping over there. And you've got an empty tonight.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to share it with the whole country. I don't know, is that an open invite or?
No.
In a word,
I have my provisions ready.
All right. What does Hugh Keevens get in for himself when he's got the place to himself?
Well, you know, tonight's delicacy, courtesy of my local newspaper shop, is Haggis Pecora.
Right.
My local news agent not only sells me my newspapers, but a fine selection of Pecora. So
there'll be a bottle of red as well, I would imagine.
Goodness me. Is there a Y in the day?
What an evening that. And what will be your
what a rock star. Haggis Pecora, bottle of red, and the rest of Partick Thistle are broth.
Yes. Or will the MP3 memory stick, the USB?
Yes.
Get brought out. I'm up to about 15
minutes on it now.
So we've got what a trio now. Haggis Pecora, bottle of red, Leonard Cohen.
Why would you not go to a takeaway shop for Pecora instead of your newspaper shop?
Because the man is good enough to. It's homemade Pecora.
Is it
homemade?
Is it next to the pick and mix? Is that?
No, it's next to the milk.
It's next to the milk.
I have a quarter of midget gems and a quarter of Haggis Pecora.
If Hugh's not in the morra, he's got food poisoning. Because that's your pardon.
I'm sure it's absolutely fantastic.
Okay. Well, can't wait to tune in and hear the outcome of that.
Craig and Johnston, please bring us back to the football, Craig.
Jaden Barrow,
slide
open the goal by saying good luck
tomorrow,
Matt, back to touchline.
Thanks very much, cheers.
Keep an eye on your result, hopefully all the best for you.
Cheers, thank you.
I want to speak to you about the night, my team. At the start of the season, I was down in Wales, we got a win against Connors Key. They came up here and embarrassed us, to be honest. Everybody kind of wrote off the manager for there. We lost to Rangers, then lost to Hamilton, and then before the international break, we got a win against St Johnston, which was kind of lifted the spirits a wee bit. But tomorrow against Hibs at home, I'll be there. I personally feel it could kickstart the season. I feel it could be the fresh start that's required. There's been a lot said in the press about Angelo Alessio's training methods. Cut Broadfoot mostly came out and saying that he focuses on his shape too much and they're not doing a lot of physical stuff. But as a new manager coming in, he's coming in there trying to implement his methods. The players should be there to try to get themselves physically fit themselves. There's trainers at the club that they can do that with. So I don't think Cut Broadfoot's comments have been fair. But I think tomorrow, if we can get a win, we then go to Celtic away next weekend. I'm not expecting too much from that. Parkhead's always a difficult place to go. But then we've got Hibs at home in the Cup a week on Wednesday. A win there would take us to Hampden. And I really think there's a lot of positive vibes around the club at the moment. A lot of people thinking that if we can get that 3 points tomorrow against the Hibs side, that just like Kilmarnock have been struggling the opening start of the opening of the season, we can maybe try and go on to where we were last season. I'm not for any part saying that we're going to be third this season again. There's a lot of teams who've strengthened. There's a lot of teams who aren't doing just as well. But I think a win tomorrow could be like kickstarters.
Well, Kirk Broadfoot had his say, but I noticed that Dom Thomas during the week, another Kilmarnock player, spoke up in defence of Angelo Alessio. This game tomorrow, Craig, is part of a fascinating Premiership card because Angelo Alessio has had to withstand a lot of heavy criticism and he deserved every bit of it for going out to a Welsh part-time team. However, he stayed to come back. I think the man under pressure there at Rugby Park tomorrow is Paul Heckenbottom, because the Hibs fans have made their displeasure very well known, been very verbal about it inside various grounds. And if Paul Heckenbottom were to lose that match tomorrow, the one that comes before the Edinburgh Derby against Hearts, then that criticism will only increase. So it's a fascinating fixture. And Angelo Alessio appears to have steadied the ship.
Yeah, I agree with you, Hugh, in terms of the pressure on Paul Heckenbottom. But for Kilmarnock, you know, from their point of view, the win at McDermott Park was absolutely huge for them. You know, a real solid display. You know, not entertaining, but sort of similar to what was happening under Steve Clarke. So, you know, they can turn that into two victories. Then the start of the season, all of a sudden, doesn't look too bad. You take that Rangers game as well. You know, they were good in certain periods. Lost the last minute winner for Rangers in that game. So when you add all that up, it doesn't look particularly bad. So if you're a Kelly fan tomorrow and you get a win, I think you look at that as a decent start to the season.
Craig, when you look at the pressure Hibs are under as well, and Paul Heckenbottom, do you get the feeling that if you can start the game quick, the Hibs players, the Hibs fans might go into their shell and that plays into Kilmarnock's hands?
Well, the last season when we played Hibs, when Hibs come around the park, they always bring a noisy supporter. The Hibs are a supporter, it's one that you like to see around the park. They bring a big crowd, bring money into the stadium and all that, and they bring a good atmosphere, which is what you want to see. It kind of noises the ground up a bit, but I think starting quick, I don't know if that's really us this season. I think we're very slow and steady, slow build-up, see what we can do. But I reckon if we can nick a goal before half-time, if the Hibs fans have to go into the dressing room at half-time under a couple of a booze and maybe some negativity from the stands, I really think it'll stick the heads down to the Hibs players. And I honestly don't think Paul Heckenbottom can probably bring that dressing room back up tomorrow if they go in at half-time down 1-0.
Let's hear from Angelo Alessio, the man you're on to praise.
Team are confident. Of course, depends the good result. The good result we permit us to work better and to improve because it's important for us now to improve our performance as a team. You know, as a team, I saw the right attitude, the right concentration and motivation.
Hibs looked really, really poor against Motherwell in the last game. Hugh, you're allowed to lose games. You're allowed to lose them, but to lose them in the manner that they did, and especially before the game when people are identifying your potential problems and then you live up to them. So the midfield looks lightweight. It proved to be lightweight. Motherwell ran over the top of them, and Paul Heckenbottom could be doing with making sure that Craig goes home unhappy tomorrow as a Kilmarnock fan.
I mean, Motherwell took them apart. Rangers took them apart. And the Hibs fans say that Paul Heckenbottom does not appear to know his best side, and they do not like losing 6 goals to Rangers at Ibrox, even though people say, Hibs were down to 10 men, so on and so forth. It hasn't started well. The crowd are now verbal, and that's always the start of a slippery slope, unless you can turn the corner quickly.
And Edinburgh might not be a happy place, because the exact same, maybe an intensified version of that pressure actually would be on Craig Levein when he welcomes Motherwell. If you can't beat Hamilton Accies and you can't beat Ross County at home, and Motherwell come to town, these are games that Hearts are expecting to win.
I think people are now saying, oh, they've gone 11 Premier League matches without a win. Now, they're taking into consideration 7 from the end of last season. Now, that's slightly unfair, because each start to a new season should be a fresh page.
Yeah, but it's not, though, is it? In terms of the way, if you're a fan, the way you view the manager, how much goodwill does he have in the tank? Yeah. I mean, you can't just erase last season
but
from
nothing,
your memory.
No. Nothing's changed in terms of that. You know, with the games that came, 7 of those last season, I think the fans turned up and thought, okay, a few new additions, perhaps we're going to change the way we play. But they've not, and they're getting the same results. So if Motherwell go there and make things difficult in the first half hour for them, I tell you, the Hearts fans won't put up for it, and there'll be a chorus of boos.
Let's just check in on the teaser. In fact, first, what about this for a tweet that's come in from Kieran? He says, I just found out, so it's breaking news essentially, just found out that my girlfriend sat in the same seat as Mark Wilson in Mr. Brown's English class at St. Ambrose High School. Not sure if it's a claim to fame. I assume you didn't sit in the same seat at the same time. So
that would have been awkward.
So is that
Mr. Brown was my English teacher.
I really want to find out a bit more, because it sounds as if maybe there's now a plaque on Mark Wilson's former seat, because otherwise how would you know? Either that or he is going around telling people, that's Mark Wilson's old seat.
I never knew my fame.
Were you quite the wordsmith in the English class?
Can you not tell?
Well, that's why I asked.
In this show,
I sat in the same seat as Billy Connolly.
Did you go to the same school?
Primary school, yeah.
Kieran, tell your girlfriend that her claim to fame is rubbish.
He's always going
to
trump me with stories there.
Really?
Got
same school?
Same school. St. Peter's Primary School in Partick. Billy Connolly and me.
Brilliant.
Not at the same time.
Sorry, Mark.
Save your Billy Connolly stories for Saturdays when I'm not on now, Hugh.
All right, okay.
Let's check in on the teaser. We are looking for the top 10 Scotland goal scorers who have never played for the Old Firm. So guys like James McFadden, Stephen Fletcher, Kevin Gallagher, Don Hutchison. I should say it only includes players who scored their last Scotland goal from 1980 onwards, just to separate it.
Chris Martin.
No, Token Jester is on. Hugh Moan has got two of his three.
Dennis Law would have been too early.
No, he finished in 74. Dennis.
At Hetty C has got one. So some good answers coming in on the teaser. I'm impressed. Stephen O'Neill's got one of the ones that you're missing as well. You are right. I mean, Dennis Law would have been one, but for the time frame.
I think we're struggling, Hugh.
I'll tell you what I'll do, since I'm that generous. I'll give you some thinking time, and then we'll speak to Alan, who's on the line and wants to compare Ryan Kent and Mikey Johnson. We'll speak to him next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Mark Wilson are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's still Arbroath 1, Partick Thistle 0. Partick Thistle have made a change about 10 minutes before the break because things are that bad. The old hook has come out. How long has it been since you were up at Arbroath, Hugh Keevans?
Danny McGrain was the manager. There you are.
What year are we talking?
Oh, when would Danny have stopped? Early 80s or something.
So he was the manager up there?
Yeah, the best fullback of his generation. Went to Hamilton Accies for a wee while and then became the manager of Arbroath, and the Arbroath fans used to wear imitation beards in honour of Danny.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Mark Wilson, it just goes to show that you can be a legendary Celtic fullback and go on to take a managerial role in Angus. So
I think me and Danny are far apart in our careers as a player.
Imitation mushrooms to be held up in the stands behind the hedge tomorrow.
Mushrooms, for them. This programme does travel to all corners of Scotland. Yeah, even yesterday when I stepped out the car to take my first training session, an old guy ambled up to me and says, "You're getting some stick on that, Clyde. They're saying that you're only going to last four games." No ideal preparation when you've got your players running about you, but I'll take it in the chin.
You'll be there for the long haul. Champions League, watch this space. Alan is a Celtic fan down in Berkshire. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Gordon. How you doing?
Not too bad at all. What's your point tonight?
Hi, Professor. Good evening, Mark. Good evening, Hugh.
Hello. Hi, Alan.
Hi. Just quickly, first of all, Hugh, I'd like to say that I don't often agree with you, but you're wholeheartedly 100% correct. Had Rangers beaten Celtic in that first league match of the season between the two, there is no way in this earth Ryan Kent would have been bought. That's my opinion as well. But my question to the two of you, to the three of you, is Ryan Kent overpriced? And as if he's not, how much money is Mikey Johnson worth? Bearing in mind that the only comparison you can make between the two are last season, both from a similar position. So you're comparing apples and apples, not apples and oranges. And Mikey Johnson scored one less goal than Ryan Kent. Bearing in mind he only played half the amount of games that Ryan Kent played.
With regard to Ryan Kent's valuation, Liverpool set the price and Rangers came in on the final day of the transfer window and met the price. Otherwise, he was off to Bruges in Belgium. The price was established. Rangers had to meet it. With regard to Mikey Johnson and what is he worth, he's worth what someone is willing to pay for him. Unless Celtic actually say, "We believe that he is worth X million and that's what you have to pay." But if you want to test the market, then somebody has to make you an offer.
I mean, Alan, is it not the case that it's maybe frustrating, but it's one of those facts of life that if you're going to dip into one of the big academies like Liverpool's or Chelsea's or Man City, you just pay those sort of prices?
Well, you say that. I mean, I've had my doubts to be honest, whether that was the actual price that was paid anyway. But that's another argument. But the fact that Mikey Johnson's stats, and that's what you can go by.
You can go by a lot more than stats, Alan, surely.
Well, how do you go? Well, performances then.
Well, listen, I know Ryan Kent statistically maybe doesn't look that appetising to you, but he did enough, whatever the stats say, he did enough to be the Young Player of the Year in Scotland, as voted for by his fellow pros, so his performances must have been okay.
Performances okay, but were Mikey Johnson's performances okay?
Well, yeah, for me though, these things quite simply come down to, if you're a Rangers fan, you will say that Ryan Kent is a much better player than Mikey Johnson, and if you're a Celtic supporter, you'll say Mikey Johnson's a better player than Ryan Kent. End of.
I mean, Mark Wilson, there may well be a time where Mikey Johnson gets to a level where he is voted the best young player in Scotland.
Yeah.
But as it stands, he's not, and Ryan Kent was.
Yeah, that's the crux of it. Ryan Kent was voted by his fellow players, and I think quite rightly so. I thought he was outstanding for Rangers, as well as I think just now Mikey Johnson has been outstanding for Celtic. May well be Mikey Johnson's season, and he may well go on to claim that award. But you're right, Gordon, it's academies in England. You go in and you take one of these players, and it's not just Scottish teams, but you see English teams paying for boys who haven't kicked a ball for the first team down in England, and they're paying 10, 15 million. It's incredible prices. And Rangers obviously thought Ryan Kent was worth paying the 7 million for.
Alan, thanks as always for the call. Quickly on the teaser, you two, the top 10 Scotland goal scorers who've never played for the Old Firm, they have to have scored their last Scotland goal from 1980 onwards. James McFadden, Stephen Fletcher, Kevin Gallagher, Don Hutchison.
None. Every time he looks at us, it's just a worried look.
Anguish.
Gary McAllister?
No.
Darren Fletcher?
No.
Joe Jordan?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, come on, you.
He got 11, scored the last one in 82.
Hugh, there must have been some in your era, because in my Scotland era, there's not many goal scorers about.
There's one 80. In the current squad.
One in the current squad?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And then you're going back a little bit. Now, bear in mind, I think this guy got
Snodgrass.
Yes. I didn't even need to give you my hat trick against Malta clue.
Yep.
Okay, a couple more minutes. Let's speak to Archie in the south side. Hi, Archie.
Hello, Hugh. Just before I go to my point, can I say something to you?
Of course you can.
Hugh, it's not your fault, Hugh, that Stephen Gerrard can't beat Neil Lennon. It's not your fault. I'm going to get somebody blamed. Don't you worry.
There we are, Hugh. If you were in any doubt, it's not your fault that Celtic won the game.
I never thought at any point it was my fault.
It's because you're getting all the stick. Archie's sticking up for you, that's all.
It's amazing. Two weeks after the game is over, we're still arguing about it, which is the nature of the fixture.
It's the nature of this city. We're nearly running out of time, Archie. What's your point tonight?
I'd just like to ask you what you think, how fast Celtic can go in the Europa League, because I think that's quite a good draw. We've got to get in that little group, and I think if we can progress on that group, we might get a wee run going. Just to see what you think.
Decent question. It's going to be upon us soon.
I think they'll deal with Cluj. As much as Cluj scored four goals, I think Neil Lennon will learn from his mistakes. Lazio are a bit unknown for me. And I thought Rennes when they came to Celtic.
I think we're eighth in Serie A last season.
I think that'll be a tough one.
Won a cup.
I think Celtic will finish third.
You do? Behind?
Rennes and Lazio. Yeah,
Rennes are supposed to be a good outfit.
Brightly, they've got a couple of outstanding young players.
Yep, we came to Celtic Park. I don't think they had their full squad out, and I heard impressive. So that's going to be tough.
You'll get your indication, I think, from Rennes away in the first game. I think Rennes are the best side in the group.
Yeah, it's difficult to tell right now, isn't it, when you've not had a look at the opposition.
I think they can take 6 points off Cluj. I really do. I think they can go over there and win, and I think they'll learn their lesson at home. The other games are a bit unknown for me. Not sure it'll be a tall order.
Archie, they're not as confident as you.
No, I think we'll qualify. I think we'll get into the second place at least. I think we'll do well.
Yeah, I mean, what we would say, listen, you're asked to make a prediction, go out on a limb before we've even seen any of the opposition. I think what we would probably agree on, it's not a brutal group. You know, it's doable if Celtic can perform the way that Neil Lennon believes they can.
Very entertaining, very refreshing. Look forward to seeing Rennes and Lazio at Celtic Park. Celtic will forever regret the second half performance against Cluj, which put them out of the Champions League qualifiers. You know, they had it with 13 minutes to go. They were 3-2 in front and they blew it. So they can exact revenge on Cluj, but I'm not sure they can get anything in France or Italy.
At halftime, it is Arbroath 1, Partick Thistle 0. Gary Caldwell looks concerned. He's already made a change, tried to make something happen. It's just been a rough old time for Partick Thistle, Hugh. I've been saying this for quite a while.
They can't complain at being a goal behind. They owe Scott Fox for three terrific saves in the first half, and they are toiling at the bottom of that league. The takeover bid for the club has gone very, very quiet. Colin Weir, the man who pumped millions into Partick Thistle, is gone. So worrying times.
Couple more on the teaser. Come on, let's go.
Thank you. I'm stuck.
Willie Hollaby has got the one that you're looking. Has got one of the ones you're looking for.
John McGinley.
No.
Oh, is that us finished?
Two of them are called John.
John Robertson.
Yes. Well done. He's got eight. Never played for the Old Firm.
John.
One of them still manages in the women's game.
Oh, Scott Booth.
Scott Booth. He's got six. Now, the 1980 thing has thrown you because he scored his last goal in 1980. So he really is before that, if you're thinking about his era. I mean, if you're talking about famous Scotland goals here.
Archie Gemmell.
Yes. And the last, John. Well, we just finish off with a good old-fashioned initials clue. Yes. Would you ditch the football ones?
Hey, go for it.
J.W.
John Wilson? No.
Who's he?
That's my dad. Just sprung in mind.
No.
John Wark.
Yes, John Wark.
Thank you.
That's horrendous. Mark, good luck tomorrow.
Thank
we'll
you.
Be back.
Yes, good luck,
quarter
Mark.
To 12. Yes. Big afternoon. Make sure you join us. GBX Friday's up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.